China's 2026 economic strong start loses steam. Commentary. China has recently released a series of economic indicators for May. The data reveal that the strong start to 2026 touted by the Chinese Communist Party at the beginning of the year has largely fizzled out. This article examines three key datasets. Taken together, they point to a clear conclusion: China's long-standing investment-driven growth model is becoming increasingly unsustainable. Beijing's efforts to stabilize and rescue the property sector have failed to reverse its decline. And weak consumer demand has become a persistent structural challenge. Fixed asset investment. From January to May, national fixed asset investment totaled 1.785 trillion yuan, down 4.1% year-on-year. In 2025, China's fixed asset investment fell 3.8% from the previous year. This marked the first annual decline since statistics were first recorded, indicating that the traditional investment-driven growth model had become increasingly unsustainable and that the old playbook of infrastructure-led stimulus was losing effectiveness. However, at the end of 2025, the Central Economic Work Conference set the tone that investment growth had to turn from negative to positive. Because 2026 marked the first year of the 15th five-year plan, achieving a strong start held significant political importance. After entering 2026, government bond issuance accelerated in both volume and timing, with a greater share occurring in the early months of the year. According to Enterprise Early Warning Tong data, new special local government bonds issued in the first quarter totaled 1.16 trillion yuan, a 20.8% year-on-year increase. With this strong stimulus, national fixed asset investment reached 10.27 trillion yuan in the first quarter, rising 1.7% year-over-year and achieving the politically desired reversal from decline to growth. However, this type of shot of adrenaline stimulus could not last. By April, the situation had already reversed. From January to April, national fixed asset investment totaled 1.413 trillion yuan, down 1.6% year-on-year. Some might argue that investment excluding real estate development remained positive during the first 4 months, increasing 1.3%. However, by May, this explanation was no longer valid. From January to May, fixed asset investment excluding real estate development fell 1.2% year-over-year. Notably, private fixed asset investment, which had already declined by 6.4% in 2025, fell by an additional 7.1% year-over-year during the first 5 months of 2026. The era of investment-driven growth appears increasingly difficult to revive. The ongoing real estate downturn. After several years of continuous decline, China's real estate sector remained under severe pressure in the first 5 months of 2026. Real estate development investment fell 16.2% year-on-year to 303.56 billion yuan. The sales area of new commercial housing declined 10.8% to 313.2 million square meters, and sales revenue fell 13.5% to 293.66 billion yuan. Following the housing bubble burst in 2021, the authorities initially ignored the problem. They only intervened when the downturn began dragging the economy toward a cliff. Beginning in 2024, Beijing introduced whitelist financing for approved real estate projects. By the end of 2024, approved lending under the program totaled 503 billion yuan, rising to 750 billion yuan by the end of 2025. In early 2026, new supporting policies significantly extended repayment periods, with some loans eligible for extensions of up to 5 years. However, from January to May 2026, completed housing floor area fell 23.4% year-on-year to 140.87 million square meters. Why has housing completion continued to plunge despite 750 billion yuan in whitelist loans? Why has the open wound in the sector still not been closed? There are two possible explanations. One is that approved loans have not actually been fully disbursed. Banks may appear to comply while prioritizing their own interests, leaving policies ineffective in practice. The other possibility is that the hole left by the property crisis is simply too large, making 750 billion yuan little more than a drop in the ocean. Regardless of which explanation is correct or whether both are true, the result points to the failure of Beijing's real estate policies, whether the goal is to stabilize the market and prevent further decline, or to accelerate the creation of a new model of real estate development. Weak consumption. In May, total retail sales of consumer goods were 410.9 billion yuan, down 0.6% year-on-year. This marked the first negative growth since China ended its nearly three-year dynamic zero-COVID controls in December 2022. Taken together with recent trends, the data indicate that weak consumption has become a long-term issue. For many years, China's growth in total retail sales of consumer goods exceeded GDP growth. From 2012 to 2019, real growth in retail sales consistently and steadily outpaced real GDP growth. However, since 2020, after the shock of the pandemic, this relationship has become unstable, with GDP growth often exceeding consumption growth. Looking at 2026, from January to May, retail sales of consumer goods totaled 2.06 trillion yuan, up only 1.4% year-over-year. In contrast, first quarter GDP was preliminarily calculated at 3.342 trillion yuan, growing 5% year-over-year at constant prices. GDP growth far exceeded retail sales growth. The contribution of final consumption to GDP growth also reveals a clear shift. Compared with the five-year period from 2016 to 2020, the contribution rate of final consumption between 2021 and 2025 declined noticeably. Table 1. Comparison of China's total retail sales of consumer goods and nominal GDP growth rates, 2020 to 2025. Year. Nominal growth rate of retail sales of consumer goods. Nominal GDP growth rate. 2020. Minus 3.9%. 2.5%. 2021. 12.5%. 13.2%. 2022. Minus 0.2%. 4.8%. 2023. 7.2%. 4.2%. 2024. 3.5%. 4.1%. 2025. 3.7%. 4%. Source: National Bureau of Statistics of China. Based on these figures, one can conclude that retail sales lagging behind GDP has become the new normal. This implies several structural problems. First, wealth distribution has shifted toward the production side rather than household consumption. Second, a strong production sector combined with weak domestic demand has created a structural imbalance, forcing China to rely on international markets to absorb excess capacity. Third, falling household consumption rates reflect a defensive savings strategy among consumers, while the disappearance of the real estate wealth effect, market saturation, and shifts in consumption patterns have further weakened demand. Fourth, without sufficient support from consumer demand, prices remain weak, which feeds into slower nominal GDP growth and creates a cycle of low inflation or even mild deflation. Conclusion: the weaker China's economy becomes, the more aggressively the authorities promote the narrative of a bright future for the Chinese economy. When discussing first quarter official figures, regardless of their accuracy, official commentary once claimed that China's economy delivered a strong first quarter report, with resilience and vitality further demonstrated. But now that the first half of the year is nearly over, how can authorities continue to maintain that narrative in the face of cold economic data?